Policy Board meeting of Friday, June 20th, 2014. Recognize alternates, Chief Menenga from North Liberty. Pat Harney, you're here for Chief?
Lonnie.
For Lonnie, okay. Dave Wilson's not here at the moment.
Lonnie's out driving around in that thing.
Yeah.
Checking the cross of his.
Item number two, action to approve minutes of May 22nd.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Motion by Nugel, second by Lundell. Any questions, discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Comments from the public? Does not appear that we have any public here. Number four, action item. Action to approve resolution 2014-05, approving resolution honoring Tom Song. This is to rename the conference room the Tom Song Conference Room. Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved by Harney, second by Lundell. Any discussion?
My only question was, is Tom or Thomas? Did he always go by Tom?
I think everybody called him Tom.
Everybody
I don't know either. Yeah. You know, have we marked anything yet?
Do you know
we
that?
Should get the family's concurrence on how they want it.
That would be a good idea.
And I did talk with the wife about it, and Jan thought that was a very nice honor, so
okay. She
was okay with doing that.
Great.
But what is, do you have any ideas to name preference Tom Thomas?
I would guess Tom, but I think we should confirm it.
Okay.
I can confirm it.
Okay. Do you want to confirm that with them? Okay, thank you. While you're talking to them, do you want to see if there's a particular date that works for them, or we have our next dates, or do we want to do it a regular meeting, or I think that for everybody's schedules that makes the most sense.
The next one is not till September,
right.
If I'm not mistaken. 26th would be the next official meeting date.
Do you want to see if September 26th works for them?
I will check.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that passes. A nice honor for a great man. He's a good one. Number five, discussion item, allowing the use of JEXA's CAD and NCIC/Iowa system connection for the Department of Corrections 6th Judicial High Risk Unit. Tom.
Yep. So in your packets, I put a note there. In January, Sheriff Polkrabic and I were contacted by the 6th Judicial High Risk Unit, which is the Department of Corrections High Risk Unit. You probably see them drive around sometimes in the MART car. They're the fully uniformed guys. They check on the probation parolees. They work with our local law enforcement hand in hand on a lot of the day-to-day activities. They even go on calls, even support them and such. And they are on our Harris radio system currently. They went out on their own and purchased Harris radios and got on our system. And what they're looking for now is, they're kind of an independent agency. They don't do their work through like state patrol dispatch or anything like that. They usually operate within the counties in which their area covers. So their radios are usually configured to that local county and they talk back to that local dispatch center. So with that, they don't have a way currently other than calling out on the radio to run license checks and stuff, and they easily do that again through the local jurisdiction, which is us. But they're looking at putting a computer in their car so that they could do them on their own, run the stuff on their own, and then be able to view our status screen in CAD to see where officers are at, dispatch and what calls in case they're available or in the area, and they could help out. And with that, they would want to access our Iowa system, and they would get through that through the county's connection. Johnson County's agreed to let that laptop through their network to access our CAD server, which where they would run that. The fee with that is $100 a month to add them to our switch to run that information, and we're billed quarterly. So for the first 10,000 messages, it's $100 a month, and there's roughly only two guys in this county that work it, and they're far from 10,000 messages they would use. So the question was if they joined, would JEXA be willing to let them run through our connection, bill them back, charge them back the $100 a month, and they would agree to pay that, and then we'd get, you know, if we were willing to do that, we would work on an agreement with them and bring it back to the board at the next meeting for approval. There's one other logistical issue that Jeff was going to look at. Would that be, we have on our NCIC committee as part of our bylaws, we have a NCIC subcommittee carved out, and it's made up of the agency's reps who use that system. So the chiefs from each of the agency are on it. So we're just going to talk about, there's some things to look at logistically there and make sure it's good, but no discussion, just if we would be interested in allowing that come through.
Do you have to do the training for them to sort of qualify to be on the system and use it like
they
law
go,
enforcement officers do?
Yep, they go through their own NCIC. They're already NCIC certified. Yeah, because they're already certified officers, and they've got they take the 2-hour class to get certified on it.
What are the boundaries of the 6th Judicial?
7, 8, 9 counties, isn't it?
Lynn, Johnson,
yeah, I say you might
know. Iowa, Jones, Benton. There's one more.
Taylor.
So they're using this for the team that works Johnson County?
Just the two cars that work Johnson. Yeah, the other guys are on Cedar Rapids. There's a lot of them based out of Cedar Rapids, and they're on Cedar Rapids system. They use their CAD connection. And so they're just the two guys based out of here would come through us.
How's it benefit Jackson?
Well, it benefits a lot of the agencies, I would say, more than anything. Chief Finnegan might be able to speak to it being here. I mean, they assist. I mean, they're if they see a call, I mean, because they roam the whole county, and if they see a call, they hop right on and they join and they jump in and respond to that call with these local agencies. And if there's a local agency is out with someone or a parolee or a probationer that they are highly familiar with, they jump right on, give them info and say, hey, you know, you might want to watch this guy for this or look for. I mean, they really do intertwine with us hand in hand a lot. We would just
no brainer then.
Yeah, we just be allowing them to share our connection and then have them reimburse us for the cost. I mean, there's no really additional wear and tear. There's no by having them on.
So when we draft the agreement, is there a hold harmless liability issues as to communications in terms of affecting their arrests or law enforcement purposes?
We really haven't asked for that specific type of indemnity from the other public safety users, and I'm classifying that as public safety. There's a whole series of other immunities that are applicable.
Okay, so this agency is immune from liability claims?
There's a specific immunity related to emergency communications, which almost everything that we would do here would fall within that specific immunity. It would be hard. I mean, I guess there's a potential to somehow try to connect out some potential, like, constitutional violation or alleged constitutional violation by an officer out in the field to the communication he's receiving from here, but that's a stretch, and those claims aren't coming around that much that I know about.
Well, the only thing I would say is that for $100 a month, I don't want the agency, our group, to accrue even, being shotgunned in a lawsuit. It'll cost us more to defend that than we get out of it. I would want the agency protected, at least, okay, from that regard.
Good point. Any other questions or discussion?
I assume the user advisory group and the chiefs that are on board support.
I've not talked to the other chiefs, but I definitely think that there would be there's a huge need for this, and they do show up, and just like hearing a call, they're able to call an officer and say, hey, I was just out at that place checking on a probationer, so it would be a huge benefit. Plus, I think they would show up to the call. Just brings one more person to the party.
Yeah, and we haven't had a meeting there since May, March. We skipped this month. because there's just due to really no items. And this just came back on the radar the end of last week after that meeting would have occurred. So they approved the radio usage and let them on for that. So that's why it's discussion here. If we're good moving forward, that's an easy thing to just make sure everybody's okay with. But yeah, right now they operate hand in hand. So
additionally, one of the officers is part time for Chief Venenga. I mean, so he's pretty familiar with.
He's already trained on
the
everything.
Global,
the
global
use of it. He has a part time job for Department of Corrections.
Same, just change uniforms.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like consensus to move forward then. So.
So Jeff and I will work together on that and make sure those other issues are addressed before we bring anything back.
Okay. All right, item number 6 is, again, a discussion item. City of West Branch is exploring using the dispatch and 911 services of JEXA.
So, yeah, again, so for this item, again, a lot of these last two items just came up within the last week to 2 weeks. This one was about 2 weeks ago. Chief Horhan contacted me from the City of West Branch Police Department about exploring the possibility for JEXA to dispatch for their agency and join our radio system and basically have us do their day-to-day operations for them for public safety. This kind of came about, he said the city is looking at revamping their strategic plan over the next 10 years, and their the communications in West Branch, again, it just probably comes down to the current system they have. They think ours is better. It offers them more coverage, more flexibility, and then the chance to be a part of a bigger consortium over here. So he reached out to see if that would be something that we would be interested in doing in opening up our services to other jurisdictions. And I told him it's very preliminary to meet with the board. We'd have to get some costs. There's a lot of work involved in, if they join our radio system, what's the coverage like? Do we need to add, towers? Do we need to add coverage to get to that side of the county, because they are right on the county line, and our coverage does pretty much drop right on the county line there in West Branch. And within the city proper, it's kind of a bowl down in there, and it's communications on our system are tough until you get back outside higher again. But again, they're outside of our coverage area, so it meets the needs of us, but wouldn't for them. So there would be some exploratory things as far as radio coverage, 911 call routing. How to route particularly would get tricky. It would be wireless calls that would be for the city of West Branch. Landline wouldn't be too bad. They are on the same CAD as we are. They did mention they would like to join and be part of our CAD system, and again have the resources that they could share amongst everyone, and vice versa. Our staff would have access to theirs if it was something that we were interested in. They last note, they did have a tower site, but if that was an option, they have space that because they leased land to a cellular company, and in that agreement, that cellular company allowed them space for public safety communications on that tower, and then they also have a water tower there. But the other tower site would be a better option for them. But anyways, more exploratory, something we'd have to put together a lot of information and see what it would take and cost and what we would want to charge. And I think I know that was a goal here early on, that we wanted to branch out and do things, but it's kind of like it's easier to do a whole county than it is carving out a city is kind of my thing here. Not saying we can't do it, but I think there's a lot more work involved for very little than if we were really regionalizing and taking on the entire county. But they did reach out to the Board of Supervisors about this item. They were supposed to have a meeting about another issue, and this is just what West Branch was telling me, and that they wanted to discuss. I think they were kind of confused on who covered what area or something. But anyway, Terrence might be able to speak to it. I don't know. But they were talking about, or Pat too's here, a meeting's going to be rescheduled later in the month, but this may come up at a Board of Supervisors meeting too, their intention for this request.
Kind of interesting one, because part of West Branch is in Johnson County, part of the residential portion. But on the other hand, they'd be losing their continuity with the sheriff's department down there in a totally different system. There's a lot of details that need to be worked on, something like that.
Would this
serve
West Branch Fire as well?
Yeah. This, because they're out of the city, and the city is asking for the city resources of both police and fire.
Yeah, because there's been an issue with West Branch Fire, I know, and the radio system.
Yeah.
But they wanted some extra equipment and so forth and so on.
In building repeater, because they're in get a hole in a tin can.
Yeah. How's our coverage outside of the hole?
It's if you look, if you look at the map, the mobiles are good. But I mean, again, the specification requirement we had was for Johnson County. So anything we get outside of the county is always a benefit. And there is, just due to the tower sites and the strength of where that site's radius goes out, we do have some propagation in some of those other areas. I mean, you can see where, and it's very spotty. But you get over to that area, and it's right around the West Branch itself. It goes out, but then on the outside of it. Kind of does a crescent moon around it, and you get little coverage back.
Did they transfer their co-locate permission to us? You said they were on whose tower is it?
It's a cellular company's tower, city property, and they just in their lease agreement got
secured some sort of co-location.
Yes.
Tom, would you talk about the way our radio signals are directed? And how that relates to the county lines and the FCC licensing issue?
Yeah, and that would be a point, because we'd have to probably find out if we can if they had a site there. Yeah, we'd have to find out about the power and the range of our signal branching over due to the band and what we're licensed for, how far it could go into that county, I guess. Right now, the way they're set is they're in circles and they overlap. So, we don't overlap as far into Cedar County as what possibly putting a tower site there would create. It would create a radius further into the county, and cause it'd be more of overlap for Johnson than it would. And maybe there's an idea to explore directional from our tower site over there, putting a directional antenna and possibly even that. And again, I haven't really reached out and talked to the vendors about this yet, and because I don't want any costs coming back to us yet on exploring this option. But that might be a solution if we were interested in it. I just don't know how logistically the 911 probably has me the most concerned, because I know there's been an issue with one tower over there that Cedar wouldn't agree to allow all the antennas to face or to come to Johnson. I said that we probably take a majority of those calls and we'll transfer them fast enough, but due to splitting hairs and saving disagreements, one antenna on one tower is faced towards Cedar and the other two come to Johnson. So we actually split the tower, and those two antennas, if you receive a call from those two corners of that triangle, they come to Johnson and the other corner goes to Cedar. So there are some issues like that where there are some towers on the interstate that I wouldn't want to take a majority of Cedar County's calls, but a lot of them could end up being that way for calls that would not fall into West Branch proper, but the tower covers West Branch. So there are a lot of things to look at there.
The other thing to sweat is, they've got a microwave simulcast, and it gets real edgy on dealing with microwave paths. You can't interfere with microwave paths. We'd have to look at that to make sure if we were doing it, we're not interfering with their microwave.
Do we have any idea where the county over there sits? I mean, is this a big political issue if we try and cooperate with West Branch and the county itself is really ticked off at us? I mean, what are those? Do we know what those?
I'm guessing there's probably something. The way that they reached out about this and said they just were not. It sounds like they don't like the direction of the system that the county's choosing. And I think they are more, this chief is, I don't know if I want to say forward thinking. He's concentrating on, he's looking at the being a part of a bigger, sorry, I keep not looking over there.
Bigger, better.
Yeah,
bigger, better.
He's looking at it, I'm joining Johnson County, I could pool with their resources and and share information versus, do I want to stay on my own island with this radio system that, well, may give me some good coverage, may not in my area due to the current one. So he's looking that I'm just as close, I'm more closer to the metro than I am my own county. So I think there's that question.
You know, it seems like there could be quite a few unintended consequences of moving down this path.
Yeah.
And I think knowing how the county supervisors here have been very concerned about the cost of this operation before we would start to pursue something that, you know, we don't even know where it could lead to it, let alone the political rift that it could create between the counties, you know, maybe we should take our lead from the supervisors.
Yeah, and I'm also, you know, we were trying to look at this, and Brandon and I just talking briefly last week about it. You know, I don't know that even the charges, even the costs that, if we inherited that site through some form of whatever, adding it to our maintenance, I don't know if the charges that we would charge to dispatch for one city could even put a dent in the added maintenance that we may incur versus if we were doing it countywide, we could probably recoup those charges by charging more for our services, which I know that's, you know, a long-term goal would be if we could take on other counties, that would be great to regionalize our center, and we've got the room to grow and do it.
This is a piece of a county.
Yeah, not a
small piece of a county.
Well, West Branch and Tipton are very different, and that's the first thing I'll just say politically. And we have tried to line up a meeting with the city of West Branch. It's kind of an effort to meet with all the cities. We're just holding these little meetings, and so West Branch was also on the list, and we had actually planned to meet with them on Monday, primarily to work on a road issue together on Herbert Hoover Highway. But that study had not quite come back yet, so we are planning to meet with them later this summer. They had planned to try to get some of the members of the Cedar County Board of Supervisors to come to that meeting too, but that wasn't getting really worked out. So, but now that there's a particular issue that seems to be of issue, maybe there would be an opportunity. I mean, ideally, if you think about a regional system, I mean, what's in the best interest of not only your own community, but what's in the best interest of everybody? I mean, we do use West Branch Fire. We do, at times, I'm sure, have to rely on some folks from West Branch to respond to a particular call that's on the other side of their county line. I mean, ultimately, that ought to be the goal, similar to what we've now built that relationship with Linn County. So, but I think it ought to be a regional approach, not just a city by city.
And that's the difficulty. And they also approached the EMA about taking on EMA services for just that city. I said,
yeah.
There's no way we can do it for just a city within the county. You know, at one time we provided coverage for that county, but to do just a city within that county is practical.
Now they are talking about purchasing, on the side, you know, two Harris radios for their cars and so they can have communications with Johnson a little better. They want to buy two mobiles on their own and join just like the other agencies have to ours. But yeah, it's
Jeff, from a legal standpoint, I mean, this organization has been formed by 28 E agreements with the county and various cities. We've developed, you know, agreements or contracts that have, you know, coordinated with Lynn and stuff for our maintenance and with Harris and all that to help save some money and do some things there because they're coming on the same system. How?
We haven't done that yet.
Okay. We're hopefully in the process with the whole counties. But how would this work if the other logistics could be addressed? Would this have to be opening up our 28E agreements with a new 28E agreement, or could JEX itself contract with?
It would likely be a separate 28E agreement, and it would be some regional radio system 28E agreement. We drafted something, Tom and I jointly, and proposed it to the governance board, which is Lynn County, Cedar Rapids, and Marion. We have not yet made significant progress on that. And what you just identified about how to have other potential new members admitted in the future was one of the most difficult terms, and especially what set of rights they'll have. Would they have the same set of rights as the originating members, the governance board in Jackson, or would they have lesser rights, and what do they bring to the table, what are their charges? So structurally it's a separate 2080 that I'm happy to give anybody a draft if they want, but by no means is this a final document. It's draft form at best. We had a Tom and we have that meeting 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. In May.
We had a meeting about 6 weeks ago with all the governance board, not all the governance board, but at least one representative from Cedar Rapids, Marion, and Lynn County. I would say it was very well received by the sheriff's office. I thought Marion was on board, and ended up having some kickback from Cedar Rapids that was somewhat unexpected. There would be a separate 2080. And the other issue here is this West Branch thing brings up that we're going to have to deal with likely at some point in the future, just not today, is how are we going to charge for this?
Right.
And that's something for this board to decide. This board in the past has given direction that this is something we want to do, and there'll be an expense for it. But we've never really talked about what that expense is.
Yeah, I mean, my assumption would be that we're not interested in taking on additional expense for the taxpayers of Johnson County to provide the services and protection for those outside the county.
And the expectation has always been that we would be renting out some of our equipment, and they would be then contributing towards the cost of our equipment.
Right.
But there's the inherent value in the whole organization that the people sitting around this table are the ones invested. They're the ones that put the money up to do all this.
Right.
And just by pricing a piece of equipment for a rental, you don't recover, all of the capital that's been invested.
And our system works. We know it's going to work. They can go through the problems that we went through 5 years ago.
Exactly the point. There's value there.
Right.
Yeah.
We've been down this road before.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Durant on Tuesday, and I was on our system in Durant.
It's just a very open question that we've never had, to my recollection, any serious conversation about really talking about what that pricing structure looks like.
This would have been easier for us than Dave will probably say the same if that narrowbanding deadline wouldn't have happened right when it did, because we came on. So we're right at that stage, but then the people around us hadn't made a decision yet, but then they waited so long that by the time they had to make, and I can speak for both counties, actually on both sides, Cedar and I were both doing something now, because if they would have decided probably about a year earlier, they could have been on our system, we could have had this whole regional thing going. It's just that narrowband deadline threw that wrench in there, so it forced them to go out and buy or get their systems compliant. So now they've invested they've got a few years involved before they would basically now be ready to start over again and come this way. But I think, because Iowa reached out to me last minute about it, and I think there was an opportunity there where we could have jumped on a couple of counties, but that deadline just really caused a wrench for all of us.
Well, like even Muscatine, they threw something together really quick, and it was a bad Band-Aid, and now they're trying to fix that bad Band-Aid, and they're one of them that's been talking to us.
So I think in the future we will see this come back to us where people are going to look at us and say, we want to be part of it, because they like what we're building with Lynn, and then the potential up north to happen. I mean, if things happen, a lot of people are going to want to join this, and I think that opens it up.
Tom, the big thing is the controllers, right?
Yeah, the biggest thing, the controllers
between
is the biggest investment.
This building and Lynn County, there's four controllers. That's enough controllers for the entire state.
Correct.
That's what we bring the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. But they don't have to start from scratch. They can start building their towers that can really connect into our system. They don't have to build the entire system.
I think you have to kind of back up and take a look at what you want, too. Do you want additional groups that come by to be customers, or do you want them to be members? And there's a huge distinction between the two. Again, for as much as this county is invested into this system, you know, initially I would think we'd be better off with these folks being customers rather than additional members, because that way you can control your own destiny as the county.
And you control the fact that those two counties, I don't even know if they reach their, to fund this organization, we use our general supplemental fund. I don't even know if they get to their general supplemental fund. You're not eligible for general supplemental, basically, until you've used up your general fund. Mm. And then it kind of spills over to the next cup. So those counties, I don't even know if get to that.
You know, when they start to evaluate their options, we should clearly be the more affordable choice for them. So I think we have a lot of latitude in there to price this so that it's good for us.
Tom, let's go back to the comment you made a second ago about customers and members. With respect to the governance board, it's very much a member-member relationship because they're bringing a lot. They're in a very similar position to us.
When you're talking about Lynn.
Lynn only.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this. Is it Cedar?
Anybody else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this 28E is written as two equals.
I get that.
And then future admittees may or may not have similar rights. And that's a very open term that hasn't been resolved.
And that's been the big question is
I can understand why
those,
it would be.
Yeah. Rights will be going forward and again I think it's just they're trying to get maintenance and they're trying to get their system just final acceptance going here, and they're at the very, they can see the light here. And so hopefully Jeff and I'll make some headroom here. We have a meeting next Tuesday I with them, and I'm on the agenda to bring that topic up again to finish more formally now than that informal meeting that Jeff and I had in May. So I hope I'll be able to get some answers there as to what were the concerns instead of meeting informally and then no one wanting to take action. Now I've got an action item on there. I'm going to try to figure out what those concerns are.
It sounds like, though, in this West Branch issue that it's going to take a fair amount of time, maybe cost, just to figure out what it would cost to do what they want. And it seems like, you know, there's some political issues here that need to be kind of addressed before we spend a lot of money giving them price points before we even make a decision.
Because usually what's been the case in this is like with Lynn, they hired Johnson didn't pay for any of this work. You know, we offered this great resource and their consultant spent a lot of time here and a lot of time working with me and everything, but we weren't paying for it because, well, we also had the same one that knew our system, but you know what I'm saying, these other places would come to us and they would pay for the research and we would use our vendors and our people to then look out for our best interest. But
I like that model.
You know, that's the way it's fell so far.
Well, but you know, you could fall into the trap pretty easily. The chief comes to us and says, "Well, what could you do for us?" And then you go down the path of hiring your consultant. I mean, if they're serious about it, before we would even do that, there should be some understanding of who's reimbursing who here.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they have that position. I think they're looking for us to provide that.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll just pay a subscription fee to you for using your service. So, okay.
And it would probably be a lot different if the coverage was just automatically there. You know, I mean, if you go into a lot of these surrounding counties, we've just got coverage there. But because of the topography, we just don't. I mean, mobile's okay, but handheld's really dicey because they're in a bowl.
People like our system because it's very redundant and it's very hands-off and a lot of you wouldn't have to worry about the maintenance. That's why people like to join it. These other, like Coralville, North Liberty, and Secondary Roads and all that, they love not having to maintain that system down and get that call.
Just describe incredible value
yeah.
that we don't want to just give away.
Nope.
Well, I think from what I'm hearing, and I would agree that I think any further discussions that you have with them, you need to make it clear that there's a lot of research and work that needs to be done to figure out if this what the cost would be, and if they want to hire a consultant, you know, we can give them a consultant to use, but we're not going to put, as an organization, a lot of staff time or resources into figuring it all out for them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you had just mentioned to me on the phone yesterday just some of the big costs that you didn't think they even understood.
Yeah.
You know, that just kind of upfront stuff they were going to have to do, that just the space on the tower wasn't going to begin to do for them what they maybe thought it was going to do.
Yeah, yes. I tried to explain the difference between a simulcast system and a standalone, and they don't understand. You have to put all 11 channels at that tower site. This isn't a one or two just for you. You got to put our whole system there. I mean, it's 11 channels, and there's a lot of cost with that. It's right. Not just one or two channels and trunk off of them, and so.
Right. So, I just think it's important what everybody's saying is that this would be kind of a way down the road concern about doing a city versus a whole county, and we're not willing to invest a whole lot of time and money and effort into doing all that research and background for them. So if they're really interested, they need to pony up some money for the consultation to see what it would cost. So, okay. All right, thank you. Any other business?
I saved, since I left out the line for the direction where I'm going to save this topic for other business, just because it may turn into, you may tell me to bring back an action item next month or bring back something, or in September. Want to provide an update on an issue that's kind of been lingering for a while. You guys haven't heard about it probably for three, maybe Gary was the last one to explain this issue. A leak in the break room that we've had. It's been kind of a pessimistic leak that occurs at the season change, usually when we go from extreme cold to when things start to warm up.
It's in the ceiling?
Yep.
The ceiling.
Yep, in the break room, in the corner. So Merritt and Newman Monson have been looking at this now for 3 years. They go back and forth, and it again came up in February, and so we got everybody back around the table again, scratching their heads, looking at it. Finally, pushed, got to the point now where Newman has came up with a recommendation to Merritt and authorized them to come out and do a repair at no cost to JEXA. They have been, over the last 3 years, I will say, all the trips out here and the different things they've tried and thrown at it, we have not had to pay for. They have honored that. So they have narrowed it down to a spray foaming insulation issue that wasn't done when the build, it was not part of the original design of the building. They think that based on where it's occurring, in a corner where there's some caps on the roof, and then there's also where the eavesdrop, the overhang, comes in from the east employee door there, there's an area they want to peel back and they want to spray foam seal it. And they think that based on, by the looks of everything, with the expansion and contraction of those slabs, and right now it's just got like a I don't call it a foam piece of insulation between those filler. They want to spray seal all that to resolve this. Jeff's also been involved in this with us, just kind of advice and stuff along the way. Jeff has a recommendation, and I told him we'd discuss this today, and essentially maybe have this board give direction, and like I said, if I have to bring it back for an action item because there would be a cost associated with it, you know, do we think that Newman, Monson, and Merritt have, you know, done their best to address this issue? Is this the only issue? Do we think it could be expand further in the future, or has it now and we're not aware, but this is the only area we've seen? Jeff's suggestion was hiring an independent engineer to conduct an inspection and thoroughly go through everything and provide us a recommendation. Then we have the contractors fix that. But there's also some intricacies in Jeff's role, which you can explain your conflicts about that. If if there is anything, or if you want to get to that. But the initial quote, though, from an engineer to do this was around $13,000. Now, that was, it would need updated. That was an old number, because we've given Newman Monson the benefit and thought they would be on this diligently and stay on it and address it. So there is an option to that if we want to look at that, or if we want to continue to let Merritt and Newman fix this issue next week. They want to open up that siding there on the soffit and peel back that metal and seal it and inspect it. Or do we, you know, pursue down this? It has been happening. It only happens during that season change.
Every spring.
Yeah, every spring we dread it.
That sounds like a nice day.
Well, and that's been a question too. The roof does slope to the front. The drain is right there in the front. It was jammed up this last year, and we crawled up there and we looked at it, and we broke a lot of ice and chipped a lot of ice out of there. With the concrete. Now, you know, only one time did it really move down to an office. Nick's office it moved into, but they said that was an isolated.
I almost think that was different. We drained those cores.
Yeah, that was it. Draining the core versus where it's actually, you can see it run down through in between the two pieces, the slab where that foam filler is. So, and I'm not an expert, I'm just saying that's what I saw and I have pictures of, and that's where it looks like it's coming in at, to me, and that's what our contractor and our architect are sticking with. But I think it's just time we mention it, because it has gone on. I've done what I think is, I've been trying to do my diligence and having them honor they're out of warranty, but I put pressure on the vendors to make it right, and they're doing that, but I just want to make sure long term now we're to a point where do we want to head? And I think that I'd like to get some direction from this board to make sure if I'm doing the right thing and we continue to do the right thing, you know, because it is a big investment and it has happened at the season change. But I think Dave and I have scratched our heads enough too, Adam. And I don't know, we've been disappointed with some of the response we've seen, and we
tired of hearing the word, it's condensation.
Yeah, it's not condensation anymore.
Yeah, what did we do with the administration building? They took the tile off, put a liner underneath, and then that seems to have solved the issue.
And that was going to be my comment, is from my perspective, is you don't fix it from the bottom up, you do it from the top down. If you don't get a seal on the top, if you seal it underneath, pretty soon you've got water things happening. You're going to have mildew. You're going to have all kinds of issues going on in between, and then you really have a problem in the end.
Just migrates further.
Exactly, and if it's stretching eventually down further down, it's going to keep doing that and get worse.
How well have you documented, and do you have documentation back to the warranty period to indicate that this was a problem?
I believe so.
Yeah.
This has been going on almost every year for the last 5 or 6 years.
And
been going on since,
and you've documented too.
Yeah. And
didn't they drain from bottom one time?
Yeah. They drained the core
in Nick's.
So it'd be interesting to see if that's full again. It is just getting in there.
Well, that's Nick's.
Nick's hasn't been.
It hasn't leaked ever since. 2 years ago. 2011 hasn't leaked.
So they've tried multiple fixes.
No.
No, not really.
This is the first time that they've actually tried to get back up in there again, and the architects.
Tom, I'd say there's only been two times they really did anything tangible. Once when they got, when we had water in the Nick's office, and it was apparent it was water that was in a core, and they drilled that with a rotary hammer, drained it, and then the WAM patched it. Never had a problem since. And they thought it was water they got in the precast core. The room in the kitchen, they tried once to spray foam some insulation around one of the ducts that they thought was causing the increased condensation. And I'd say that worked with moderate success.
I thought that was in here, yeah.
No, they did
okay,
the one in the kitchen
one,
too,
yeah.
Above the table. But that area back in the kind of southeast corner, closest to the vending machines and recycle,
That has always been a problem. It's never been resolved.
So they argued for a while this was just thermal bridging that was causing them.
So if you call them right now, they would still say the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. And they've even gone and put the humidity pucks up in the ceiling and checked the balancing of the system and had design engineers in.
To Pat's point, to do what they're going to do, they got to open up the skin. So they're just gonna patch up the skin again on top. Is there, you know, when they
they're gonna pull this that ridge, it's a cap up there off, and then go down inside and see if there's any integrity issues, and then.
And have they described this in writing to us?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I pasted in the notes here.
Okay.
I actually sent the steps 1, 2, and 3. I pasted in my report. That is the plan that they want to do next. On the 25th, next Wednesday.
So if we responded and said, please proceed, but you know, we're still expecting this problem to be resolved going back to the warranty period, let them try their fix. I'd film their fix. I'd have a camera up there going the whole time they're working on it.
Well, we can turn the tower cam right on it. Just put the tower cam on.
And Nick with his high definition
camera. Future liability if they try this?
Not at all.
I just think this is a continuation in their attempt to fix it.
I agree. I don't know that this is going to fix the problem. We've had a lot of proposed fixes before. This has gone on for a long time. This is a strategy of hope.
Yeah.
And if this leak goes 100 feet that way, we got a real problem, because then it's in dispatch. And so,
I just hope water doesn't flow uphill.
But
get enough of it.
If we got a design problem, or we got a construction problem, to my mind, we got to figure it out.
The problem is when you get to court, you're going to end up in a situation.
I don't think we're ever going to get to court, because I think this architect and this contractor will stand up and say, if I made a mistake, I'll fix it. They'll both do that, I think.
The problem is, which one's going to admit they made a mistake?
Until we figure out what the mistake is, we won't know. But I think that if you get an independent who comes in and looks at it, they're likely to both pick up the cost of the independent and pay for the fix. It's too important.
Well, they're going to pay for the independent?
Well, if the independent comes back and says, one of you two is at fault, I would tell them that they're going to pick it up. The county and government business is too important to these two entities for them not to do that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
You have an unique environment. A little more local.
There's
an advantage.
Would you have an independent? You don't have that much
confidence. Well, we have not engaged the independent yet, and the independent would do his own investigation. His name's George Cans. He's from Shy-Pattery.
Well, he was out one day. I mean, he was out to kind of get a 101 view of it.
3 years ago or something.
Yeah. But I mean, he's been out to, he's aware of it, he's articulate about it. He hasn't done an in-depth investigation, is what Jeff's point is. Yeah.
So your thought, Jeff, is they've looked at this so many times and tried a couple of different fixes that you think we're at the point of having an independent look at it versus just going ahead with this next fix.
I thought we were there 3 years ago. I wouldn't have recommended bringing George Cans in 3 years ago. I had confidence it was going to get fixed without some independent.
So you think you can negotiate a provision where they'll reimburse us for this study?
It depends what it says. If it says that it's compensation, it's on us. If, however, it's a breach of warranty or a breach of contract, that's a cost of any damage recovery we have. And I don't think either of these guys wants to have this fight on this issue. And it's not a huge dollar figure, I don't think. I don't think it's a huge dollar figure. I just think it's time to get a real solution.
$5,000, I think, was in Tom's notes.
I thought it was
13. Yeah, 13.
And that was a 3 years ago for us.
Yeah, that's a huge number to us. So then when it still happens after the independent defines a fix, then what do we do?
If we hire the independent comes in and says,
here's what you need to do, and it's their fault, they're going to pay for it, they fix it, then what happens? What they're going to try to extract from us is, okay, if we do this, then we're done.
Maybe not. I'm not sure that they would, actually, because typically, and we've had success on your water treatment plant to make sure that they still honor the warranty after the fix. And there's actually a new warranty after a couple times. You got some of the nicest beams out there in the state of Iowa's ever seen.
Have you been out to re-examine any of the walls since all the fixes were done?
I have not. Are they bad?
No comment.
Well, I think Tom's conservative stance was, you know, what are we out to let them try this? And then if it fails, then we go forward with the 13K outlay. I mean, that was when Tom was talking to me about
it. They're the ones, I mean, they're the ones that have come up with the correction. You can do that on your own, can't you?
Well, they're offering to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, but we can authorize them to make the fix on their
Tom can do that.
Yeah.
No expenditure to Texas.
But I think it would be good, you know, that we respond to their letter saying, please proceed, but put in the legalese that, you know, if that doesn't work, we're going to be back at it again. Or we're going to have to consider another one.
Well, I think that would just be the direction that just proceed, we wait till next spring, and in the event that it happens again, we're probably going to have to look elsewhere for a solution.
Well, I think this is the last straw. You know, if this doesn't work, then we're going this way. I mean, I don't see any other.
You've all seen those TV ads. This should be just like a little can.
Yeah. Actually, I have one. Yeah, I can. Burn down a Paul.
There you go.
You can fix a whole boat and put a screen in there.
The other thing I'd say is if you have them opening that shell up there, it'd be nice to have the independent individual viewing that, because you can't go back in and open up them without and get it.
Well, and that's
evaluation
just
without turning it up again.
This is a big deal. That's why I do agree. Someone mentioned video in it, which I do got a nice, you know, local IT videographer in the room, in the house here, so.
It's not going to get you.
Well, we can at least get down and get some good video, but that is good to have, because this is a big deal to open that up. This wasn't something that, it's not, from the way they've explained it to me too, you just don't, it's a chore to open these.
What do we think the expense of what they're doing right now? Any idea?
It's only one day of work for probably 2 hours.
They put a dollar figure on it.
Well, the dollar figure was just the cost of the phone. That's the only dollar figure they'd share with me was $944 to spray it. They haven't given me the labor of ripping it all out and giving me a project cost. The only number they'd share with me was $944. And I told them I wouldn't pay. I told them we're not paying for the spray foam. They can pay for that.
I think it's two guys, one day.
But the spray foam, are they still thinking it's a condensation issue and that's why they're doing the foam?
I don't know.
Well,
it's.
I mean, part of the reason for the foam is to create the pitch in the roof.
And no, this goes underneath.
And this is going, oh, this is underneath.
There's an angle and they're planning to spray the foam to basically insulate the inside of the angle.
Yeah.
They think it's condensation.
So item 2A, since the scenario is based on the premise that this exploration that they conducted earlier identified a cause for the leak other than the lack of insulation on the underside of the precast roof, they would assess whether the fact that spray foam insulation is in fact needed once Merit has corrected other issues. So they think it's a lack of insulation underneath the precast concrete.
That would do it. Especially on a nice day.
So how much water are you getting?
What's that black trash can? It's enough to fill one of those black trash cans.
One of those black trash cans.
It's a good trip. Well, no, there's been, on other occasions, there's been substantially more than that. You guys had the big gray trash cans collected water one year.
That was with Nick's, yeah. That was when we drained the cores. That was over a gallon. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Several gallon were in there.
Yeah. I replaced a few ceiling tiles in there when it's happened, too. Probably gone through a dozen ceiling tiles.
So it's...
I'd say let them try it, videotape it, have the agreement in place. That
if this fails, we're going this other route.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds like the consensus then. Any other business?
No, Jeff kind of at least mentioned the Lynn Johnson 20D, and so I told you guys kind of the update there. That was the only other thing I really wanted to mention.
Anything from members of the committee? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Wilson. Second somewhere?
Second.
Second by Marcus. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.